encourage us today. Amen. And I'd like to minister a unique message today, and that maybe it will affect, actually it will affect every Christian in their life. In the Christian life, amen, there will be things that you need to cut off, like sin. And there will be things that need to be broken, like addiction and bondage. And there will be things that need to be overcome, meaning that you need to learn how to hold on, to persevere, and to make the right decisions. And today I'd like to minister a message I titled, Lord, Help My Unbelief. We'll be reading from the New Testament. It's a very unique story, amen, and it deals with the area of unbelief. We understand from Scripture that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the man in this story has faith, but he also has unbelief. He's struggling in the area of unbelief. And that might be you this morning. You have faith in God. And there might be an area or a situation that you're struggling with unbelief. God, I believe in you, but. And we know God can help people with unbelief who are struggling in their marriage. Maybe unbelief in their finances. Or maybe it's a healing they're dealing with. Maybe it's a salvation for a loved one. And the list can go on and on. It could deal with Scripture. Jesus, are you the only way? They're struggling. It could be simple as that. And we're going to find out that God can help people who are struggling with unbelief. Let's read the story about this man who had a similar struggle, amen. We're going to be reading from the New Testament, the book of John, amen, chapter 9, amen. If you want to follow with me, amen. We're going to be reading Mark chapter 9, starting with verse 14, amen. And we're going to go all the way through 29. And when Jesus, Peter, James, and John came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and they ran to greet him. He asked, "What are you arguing about with them?" A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by a spirit that has been robbed of him speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." And Jesus said, "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often overthrown him into the fire or thrown him into the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus said, "everything is possible for the one who believes." Immediately the boy's father explained, "I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief." And when Jesus saw the crowd running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirits. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." And the spirit shrieked, convulsion violently, and it came out. The boy looked like a corpse, and many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet, and he stood. And after Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out, he replied. "This kind can only be come out by prayer and fasting." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this wonderful morning, God. You have brought us here together, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you may help your people, God. Lord, for we know, God, the enemy can come in our hearts, in our minds, and that we can struggle with this area of unbelief, God. Lord, I pray, God, that we will have the victory, God, that we will be a people who overcome and persevere and trust, oh God, that you're in control of our lives in every situation and every area, God. God, we pray that you may bless this sermon, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Praise God. Unbelief starts with the struggle of faith. Every area of your life with Jesus will always depend on faith. Salvation starts with faith. At the moment of salvation, you have faith to believe in Jesus, that he's able to save you. Faith in his character. Faith in his promises. Faith in his word. Faith upon the work that he did upon the cross. But faith doesn't just start and finish at the moment of salvation. Meaning that just because you got saved doesn't mean that you don't have to have faith any longer. You have to use your faith. You have to grow in every areas of your life. It's like the prophet Habakkuk said, the righteous shall live by faith. Everything you're going to do for God and in you and through you is by faith. Mark 9:23, it says this, everything is possible to him who believes. And there will be times in believing in God that it will be easy. We understand that. But on the other hand, there are going to be times where it will be difficult. Like the story we read about the father and the boy. This man is struggling to believe for deliverance. He's struggling to believe for healing. If there's any hope, not for himself, but for his son. What area in your life are you struggling to believe? This man got honest. Lord, help my unbelief. This man was not straight out an unbeliever. He believed in God. This was not a man who did not believe in the work of God, like the Pharisees. This was a man of faith. A man of faith that was struggling with unbelief. He knew where to take his son to get healed. He heard about the stories. He heard about the testimonies. He heard about the miracles. He heard about how Jesus can cast out a demon from somebody. And there he's looking at his son being attacked by a demon. He knew where to take him. And this father's been dealing with the situation for years. Having his son having uncontrollable behavior for years. And the years can wear on you. It can wear you down. It can wear down your faith. This was a demonic attack. It was a demonic spirit. And the demonic can wear you down, wear down the saints of God. It says in Daniel 7:25, speaking about the Antichrist. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. And he, the Antichrist, shall wear down the saints of the Most High. And they shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a times. And here it speaks about a demonic persecution upon the believers. And it's lasting years. There will be those who are struggling with faith to persevere. They feel like giving up. They feel like there's no hope. What's the use? What's the point? Listen, every Christian will face a very difficult situation in their life involving years of battle. Battles of prayers. Battle of faith. Perhaps you are struggling and you took your struggle to pastor and nothing changed. You're still in the battle. Jesus asked a very important question for all his readers, for every generation to come. He said, how long has this been happening? And no doubt he heard about God's faithfulness and he's still believing and you're still believing. And your faith perhaps haven't got you nowhere, the devil's saying to you. And perhaps the situation even got worse ever since you came to God. In Proverbs, it says this: hope deferred make the heart sick. In John chapter 5, in the book of John, there was a man who was crippled from birth for 38 years. He went to the pool. There was a pool over there in Jerusalem where the angel would stir up the pool. And whoever would get into the pool first will get healed. And for 38 years, year after year, opportunity after opportunity, he will watch people beat him to the pool. Because he was crippled. People shoving him out of the way. Moving him out of the way. Because others can walk and they had a disease. But he couldn't. He needed somebody to help him. His hope of ever getting healed got deferred. It made his heart sick. Look at his response to Jesus when Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" He said in John 5:7, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps before me." Somebody gets in my way. He's saying, I have faith, but I don't believe it can happen. It's useless. I have faith. I have a hope. But my unbelief is winning the battle of ever getting healed. These long-term struggles can have disappointments. The man brought his son to meet Jesus, but Jesus wasn't there. He was on top of the mountain. You read the chapter. It was the Mount of Transfiguration. He was on top of the mountain. He went to go see Jesus, and Jesus wasn't there. It was not until he came down. So when he brought his son to get to his disciples, he was expecting to see Jesus. He was met with disappointment. So he just went to the next best thing. He's like, okay, I'm just going to ask his disciples. And when his disciples couldn't cast out the demon, another moment of disappointment. He's just frustrated. All this unexpectedness and disappointment can lead a person to have anger towards God. Look at Mark 16. Jesus asked them, "What are you arguing about?" You know, when people argue, they get angry. There was a great faith back in the day called have faith and receive. And the only problem with this was that people were having faith, but they were leaving disappointed, even angry at God, because they weren't receiving. They were left disappointed. I was faithful to him, but God wasn't faithful to me, they thought. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about this? How in the world did this child get a demon? How in the world did this boy get a demon inside of him? I don't know. And there will be questions we simply do not have the answer to in this life. Why did this person get healed when didn't get healed when I prayed for him? I don't know. Life is filled with mysteries, with no easy answer. Why did this woman get pregnant so easy and I've been praying for years and I'm a Christian? I don't know. Lord, why did I lose my baby? I don't know. Why did my sister or my brother have to die so young? I don't know. Life is filled with mysteries with no easy answer. And there are Christians who believe in God, but don't believe he can do miracles today because their prayers, they thought, went unanswered. They thought God wasn't hearing their prayers. And listen, sometimes it's not the case with every person, but there are cases when a person is struggling with unbelief because there's hidden sin. Hidden sin can damage our ability to believe. It says in Psalm 32, and this is David speaking about, and you know about David's sin with Bathsheba. He said, how joyful is the one whose sin is forgiven, whose sin is covered by the blood of Jesus. How joyful is the person whom the Lord does not charge with iniquity, whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent about what? About my sin, David's saying. My bones became brittle from my groanings all day long. It affected his faith. His sin affected his faith. It affected his strength until he confessed it. He says, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength, in other words, my faith, was drained as the summer heat. It grew weak. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Here David was pointing out that his ability to believe was affected by his sin. His conscience bare witness to him. He knew he wasn't right in the right place with God, in the right standing with God, because he wrote, I kept silent. It was not only until he confessed that he was able to regain his strength back, to regain his faith back. Because when your sins are forgiven, they are covered by the blood of Jesus, and it brings joy. He's able to forgive in an instant. There's an example of this young man who came to church, and it's from another pastor. He was telling me the story. He grew up in church, and then he got to a young adulthood. He left, eventually moved away, and then he came back to visit his family one day. And then his family went to church. He went to church with his family, but he wanted to tell the pastor that he no longer believes in God. And the pastor told the young man, son, why won't you just tell me what you have done? And then he broke down and confessed that he has sinned. You can't hold on to your sin, meaning you have to confess it and believe God for miracles. For some people, they can't get deliverance because they can't get the victory. So because they can't get the victory, it must be because of God can't help me, they reason. I want to talk secondly about faith and the future. Faith and the future. Jesus used a story about a man who's struggling with unbelief to teach us about the future. Meaning, unbelief is not static. Meaning that it will not stay the same. It doesn't work that way. If you allow unbelief in your heart or in your mind and do not restrain it, it will change you. Look at the children of Israel. They couldn't enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. Faith and unbelief both determine your future. Faith and unbelief both determine your future. Which one do you decide to give yourself to? Look at Numbers 14:28. It says this. It speaks of God's judgment upon the Israelites for their murmuring and unbelief. It says, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. That's why we have to be mindful of the words that we speak. If you speak, well, if God can't help me, God doesn't hear. You're in a dangerous spot in your heart. Every believer will most likely go through the struggle of unbelief. But don't give yourself to it. Fight it. Moses sent 12 spies into land to check out the promised land, to bring back a report. And 10 of those 12 spies brought back a report of unbelief. It says in Numbers 13, this is what they reported to Moses. And when they went into the land where you sent us, it's really a land of flowing of milk and honey. Here's some fruit. But the people who live there are strong. The cities have walls, and it's very large. They even saw the descendants of the Canaanites there. The Amalekites live in the over there. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the mountain region. And the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, all along the Jordan River. And Caleb told the people to be quiet. Listen to Moses. Caleb said, let's go and we can take the possession of the land. We should be more than able to conquer it, he said. But the men who had gone with them said, we cannot attack those people. They're too strong for us. So they began to spread the lies among the Israelites about the land they had explored. See, unbelief will always affect other people. Children are affected when their parents don't believe. It's better if you just learn how to be quiet instead of speaking out, well, I don't know if God can help us. You have to be mindful of what you speak about and who is around you. Don't be an evangelist for unbelief. Telling people, don't trust God because you'll be left disappointed. You're on the wrong side if you're speaking that way. Because faith will always involve a struggle against unbelief. Will God do it? The struggle. 10 men affected the destiny of a whole generation. 2 men tried to help the people to believe in God's promises. And we have to ask ourselves, which one are we in regarding the situation you're in? There was a time in my life where I had to struggle with unbelief. I had a battle. I thought, will this get better? You know, the battle of unbelief will always say, will this get better? That's when you know you're in the battle, because it's lasting years. And every believer will struggle, but you have to resolve it. You can't leave unbelief unresolved, because it will determine your future. Faith will involve struggle. You can write that down. Faith involves struggle. Paul talked about the fight of faith. Don't let the enemy gain ground in your mind. God can help you in every single area of your life, but this area. That's just like the enemy deceiving you. Oh, you can have every area of your life but that area. Because the enemy knows if you could have just one area, he could spread. Let me ask you a question. Are you of the majority not believing God for your situation, or are you of the minority choosing to believe God, choosing to have faith even when there are giants in the land? Giants that you have to face. What words are you speaking in your situation? It says in Samuel, and this is Jonathan, his best friend. Jonathan came to David and he strengthened David in faith in the Lord. Can you strengthen others in their situation? It says in Job 4:4, your words have stood men on their feet, meaning that he lift them up. He encouraged them. He gave them faith. He strengthened them. Are you able to do that in somebody's situation instead of speaking unbelief? And I like to move thirdly, amen, about healing from unbelief. In our story in Mark, this man got honest with God about his unbelief, struggling. The hope that we can receive from God's word is that unbelief can be resolved. It can be healed. It may be healed by repenting, maybe turning towards God, away from the carnal thinking. Because unbelief, if it goes unchecked, it can lead into sin. And maybe it can leave others having anger towards God. That needs repentance. You have to get honest with the Lord, just like this man did. Maybe there was foolish words that you spoke that needs repentance. We read about Job when God confronted Job about his situation. Job responded by repenting, saying this in 42, I spoke of things I did not understand. You read the book of Job, chapters after chapters. He wants to make his complaint to God. He wants an audience with the Lord Almighty. He's like, write my words on your book. And God did, for every generation to read and hear. And when God confronted him, he realized, I spoke of things he didn't understand. And he said, therefore, I despise myself. I repent in dust and ashes. How do you resolve your unbelief? You bring it to Jesus. You have to get honest in this area of your life. Bring it at the feet of Jesus. Everyone struggles, but it depends what you do with it. Are you going to take it to the Lord Jesus? Or are you just going to get angry and try to figure out yourself? That's carnal thinking. Bring it to Jesus. He's able to help. That's why this story is here for us, to read and to be encouraged. Have you told God about your unbelief? It says in Mark chapter 9, I believe, but help my unbelief. It was overcoming him. It was overwhelming. Jesus, help me. I'm struggling with unbelief. And the last thing you might have to do is that you have to learn to maybe perhaps leave some things with God. There are things that the Bible called mysteries. It's beyond our understanding sometimes, beyond our comprehension. We won't have the perfect answers in this side of life all the time. Life is not always perfect. And just like I said, Job, he spent many chapters asking, why is this happening? Why is not my faith working? And when God showed up, he understood immediately. He understood. He's like, oh, okay, now you asked me so many questions. Let me ask you. No, he understood immediately that he had to leave some things with God. Job eventually got healed, just as the father with his son got healed. He didn't go back and ask Jesus, Lord, why did it happen to me? Why was it happening? He just left it with God. You might have to leave some things with God and just keep on doing right. The devil will try to wear you out. But those who choose to believe God know that he works out all things for those who love him. You can hold that. He works out all things for those who love him, meaning he knows your situation. It's not outside his realm. It's not outside his foresight. Just keep on doing right. Keep on believing. Keep on choosing to do right, even when you don't feel to do right. Go to prayer even when you don't need to pray. Go to church when you don't feel like going to church. You got to choose to do right. And in the closing of the chapter, amen, in Mark, it says this. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse. And most of them said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and arose. He arose and stood on his feet. Jesus healed his son, but he also healed the father's unbelief. He resolved it. Jesus didn't give him an option. Listen, man, which one are you going to be, man? Unbelieving or believing, man? He didn't say that. He's like, okay, you got honest with me. I can work with that. And that's what we have to do sometimes. Just get honest with the Lord. Lord, help me. Because I'm struggling. I believe, but I have this area that I'm struggling in, Lord, with unbelief. And God can work with an honest heart. Amen. Amen. Let's give God praise. Amen. Praise God. Amen.